us.
St. Rumble.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The gospel for this morning, as we already mentioned in the homily, gives us an opportunity to take our topic further in terms of our personal relationship with God. There is, as we have said many times, a personal intimacy available with God. And the mystery and beauty of that is that God seeks that with us. Not only has he created us in such a way that apart from him, we do not ever have any type of satisfaction that is lasting, but also he pursues us. And to realize that is something that can take any one of us many years of our lives to truly come to know and to trust and to believe. And it's something we really should have reminded ourselves of much earlier in our discussion of prayer. And that is that prayer is fundamentally a response on our part, not an initiative. Prayer is not simply something that we decide to do or that we begin to do on our own as if we are starting the whole thing up. But in prayer, we are always already responding to God who has taken the initiative and who continues to take that initiative. God himself, certainly in our relationship with him, remains hidden. But we will talk further about the ways in which this unfolds, particularly thinking of the words of St. John in his first letter, chapter 3, when he talks about the fact that we have all become sons and daughters of God. We have been made sons and daughters of God. And this means that there is this incredible reality to us, which we take for granted or even forget. And that is that God has not only created us, God not only sustains us in being, but God continues to seek us and seeks to draw us ever closer to himself. In that first letter of St. John, where he talks about how through baptism we have been taken out of darkness and into light, the darkness of sin, the darkness of our original sin and the share of each of us in that original sin. But in being taken out of it, even more than simply being freed from sin, more than simply being freed from darkness, we are born anew and we are made children of God. And St. John says that this is what we are now. What we will come to be, we do not know. But he then speaks the mysterious words, we do know that then, namely at the culmination, the consummation, the completion of all that the Lord is doing in us, then we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will talk about that goal that God has for us, but we mention it now simply to recall our status as baptized. The first vows we ever took were not simply the evangelical councils when we entered religious life, The first vows we took were baptismal promises, even if, as in the case of most of us, we were not able to make those vows ourselves because we were in infancy, but someone made, godparents made those promises for us. And so we live under those promises. Our religious vows take the vows of baptism further, and they are a renewal and an extension of the vows of our baptism, by which we became sons and daughters of God. In that position, we find ourselves on this earth, constantly seeking the light. Through baptism, we live in the light through the Eucharist, which we received and we will be adoring throughout the day. We are drawn into the light in an unspeakably full way, and yet we still live in faith, and we still do not have the fullness of the light and the fullness of the vision of God. But we are promised that by our baptism. We are promised that by Jesus Christ as he died and rose from the dead, that we will share in his resurrection and we will come to the fullness of life in him. If, of course, we keep our baptismal promises, if we confess our sins, and if we seek to live in the light. In doing that, we are in relationship with a God who is so much greater than us, than we, and because he is creator and not a creature, that we cannot meet in the same way that we meet each other. But the relationship is much more fundamental and much more profound. For us, God is hidden because we do not yet have the capacity to see and be taken into the fullness of his light. We are blinded by the light in which we already dwell, and God remains for us on earth still hidden in that light. And this is what prayer, what our personal relationship with God is about, our being taken ever more deeply into that relationship. And we know that as we do, we find that the reality of God and the reality of his love is in many ways concealed, at the same time that it is revealed and given. And that is the hiddenness of God. But God has created us with a capacity for him, to know him and to love him, however incompletely in this world. That is why in the gospel we heard this morning, we were counseled by Jesus to, when we pray, to go to the inner room. The inner room can make us think of someone who goes away from everyone else into his or her room, a personal room. We go off into solitude. But it obviously also means the inner room in the sense of our interior life, in the very depths of ourselves. What do we do when we pray? What do we do in that relationship? Well, typically, we might even close our eyes and we might withdraw into our own interiority, and in that interiority, simply allow the Lord to love us and embrace us and to, in some way, let us know how close he is to us and how much he loves us. We can make acts of love, and our hiddenness allows us a certain special way of access, a special point of access to God who is hidden. for so many in the world, and this even includes Catholics and Christians. God is vaguely present, and so seldom people take the opportunity to turn to God and to enter into God's interiority, into God's hiddenness, into which he invites us. As religious, and we have it woven into the texture of our day, we have the times throughout the day when we come together to common prayer, and we have the times throughout the day when we come together in quiet prayer, when in personal prayer we seek the Lord on our own. Both are necessary. Both are necessary. Whenever we come to Christ, into the Sacred Heart of Jesus, in the body of Christ, all the members of his body are, of course, present. And yet, simultaneously, as we enter into communion with him, we enter into communion with them. So in that sense, we are never alone, yet. It is still possible and very important that we take the opportunity to enter alone into the inner sanctuary of ourselves and into the sanctuary of the heart of Christ. And through our being together in intimate communion, we receive what in the Blessed Sacrament, what we also call Holy Communion. It is a communion with Christ available to us in the sacrament in an absolutely unique way. The Vatican Council Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy reminds us that Christ is present everywhere, but in a particular way. He is present when two or more gather in his name. He is present in a particular way when his holy word is being proclaimed. And when we are hearing that in common, as well as when we do Lectio Divina and allow ourselves to be nourished by the Holy Word of God in solitude as we read his word. But nowhere, says the teaching of the Council, Second Vatican Council, there is an absolutely unique and special way in which Christ is present in the Eucharist. And that is the source and summit of the life of the Church that comes to us through the gift of Christ at the Last Supper and through his gift on the cross. And we, as we have said before, extend that reception of the Eucharist that we have at Mass into an intimate communion, a holy communion with the Lord in our Eucharistic prayer. But in all of these things, we go into the hiddenness, because even in the Eucharist, which Christ gave us certainly in a purposeful way, gave us himself in his sacrament of the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity, even then he is hidden under the appearances of bread and wine. And so it is always in a certain kind of hiddenness this side of death that we meet him. But in that hiddenness is a tremendous intimacy, even now, which will be fulfilled in eternal life. I can still remember somewhere about the sixth grade when sister in religion class asked the question, or maybe I asked the question, probably more likely, my memory's deteriorating, but I think I asked the question, well, we will have Holy Communion in heaven, won't we? And sister said, no. we will not receive the Eucharist in heaven. Well, I was beginning to reassess my desire to go to heaven someday because I couldn't imagine life without the Eucharist. But she said, then there will be no more Eucharist because we will have the blessed vision and communion with God in a way that will be allowing the Lord to reveal himself to us and give himself to us. We will be able to receive him in a way even deeper than we now receive him sacramentally. There will be no sacraments in heaven because the sacraments, the means to achieving salvation, will have come to completion. They will have been fulfilled in the communion that we have with the Lord in heaven, no longer under the appearances of bread and wine, but now in a fullness of vision, which right now we can only stumble to try to imagine. St. John stumbles to try to say what it is when he says those mysterious words, then we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The gospel, as we commented this morning after Mass, warns us and actually teaches us a very, very important truth. The truth that we hinted at in the conference yesterday afternoon, that I'd like to spend a couple of minutes on it now. And that is that in coming to the Lord, we do need to, whether we're alone or whether we're in a chapel or church full of people, we need to allow ourselves not to worry about what others see of me. And certainly I love and care about the other sisters, the other people who are there with me in the chapel. But we need to not worry about whether they notice how piously I'm praying, or not to worry about whether Sister So-and-so is coughing too much, or not to worry about whether the music is exactly to our taste. By the way, the O Sacrum Convivium this morning was absolutely beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Haven't heard that in a very long time. We don't need to worry about what other people are thinking. And we don't even want to be self-conscious. We don't want to be conscious of others in the wrong way at that time, because we are entering more deeply into our relationship with the Lord. It's an example that only begins to touch at it. But I remember when I had the enormous privilege one day back about 1991, when then Cardinal Ratzinger was in Philadelphia. And I was rector of the seminary and had the privilege of being there. It would be another 14 years before he would become Pope Benedict XVI. But in any event, he had celebrated a beautiful Eucharist, and then we were having a reception, and I got to the reception, and people had just begun to arrive, and there standing all by himself over against the wall like a wallflower was Cardinal Ratzinger. And I thought to myself, I'll never have a chance like this again. So I strode across the room and went over and began to talk. I had a wonderful conversation with Cardinal Ratzinger. And while I was talking to him, I was struck that he was totally present to me. He looked at no one but me. And he listened very carefully. I wanted to talk to him about some of his books that I had read and was using in class. He wanted to talk about what seminaries were like in the United States now and what it was like to be a rector of a seminary. And the whole time, He absolutely gave me his undivided attention. And there was even a rather influential theologian, whom I will not name, who came up and tried to step in between me and Cardinal Ratzinger and to take over the conversation. And Cardinal Ratzinger ignored him and kept riveted on me. And then when we were finished and had said some nice things about how he never knew there was a Benedictine monastery that had originated so near his home, he hoped to visit someday, which of course he never did. But in any event, we had finished, and then he turned to the other person. Now that's kind of an example of how God is with us. God is totally ours. And being God, he can give himself totally to everyone at the same time. Cardinal Ratzinger could only pay attention to one person at a time. But God gives each of us infinite attention. God gives each of us the love, and he gives himself to us as if each one of us was the only person in the room, the only person in the world. And if there are 1,000 people praying in the church at the same time, each one can meet God, giving himself to each person as if each person is the only one in the world. And that very beautiful intimacy is the way in which God gives himself to us. And that is why we want to go into that inner room, to that place where we can meet God in that kind of exclusive way, where God is always infinitely loving each one of us. And as I struggle to say, what does it mean to infinitely give yourself to someone, just as each of the persons of the Trinity give themselves infinitely to each other in self-outpouring love? What does it mean that God gives himself to each creature in a different way? We're not persons of the Trinity, we're creatures, we're human creatures, but God gives himself to us in our humanity as if each one of us is the only person in the world. And when you think of things like that, the Lord may show you much deeper and better ways of understanding it. But to say the least, when we are distracted and unwilling to come and pray, we surely must be forgetting how it is that God gives himself to us. You know, we make it feel like we've got to get up and, you know, go to the chapel and, you know, get ourselves situated and try to, you know, bring ourselves into a prayerful disposition and then try to pray. It's nothing like that. In reality, God is always, always speaking to us. And when necessary, he uses words. He is always giving himself to us. And when we pray, we are realizing the intimate relationship and entering more deliberately and fully and consciously into the intimate relationship with him that the Lord is eternally giving to us. Before we ever were conceived, the Lord has infinitely and eternally known and loved each one of us. There has never been a time before the Lord knew you. There has never been a time before the Lord knew me. The Lord has eternally known and loved us and each creature. But human beings made in the image and likeness of God have a very special place in the heart and in the mind of God. He never forgets us. He is never less than infinitely loving and giving himself to each one of us. That is the kind of relationship that we have with him. So when we go into our inner room, when we don't, for the moment, allow ourselves to become overly preoccupied with how other people are seeing us, but when we even don't pay attention to, you know, the right hand doesn't know what the left hand is doing, we don't pay attention to ourselves. Not only do not pay attention to others, do not pay attention to ourselves. And then in those moments, we can begin more fully to give ourselves to God and to enter into the infinite gift of himself he has eternally been giving to us even before we were conceived. Even before our existence, which will never end, earthly existence will end, but our intimate relationship with him will never end. And so realizing all those things gives us a principle that I would like us to pray about today, and that is the principle that in personal prayer, obviously we bring all our intentions and we have in mind all of the people we're concerned about. You, like me, I constantly have 5 or 10 people kind of at the front because their crisis is, or their needs are very great at the present moment. But then all of humanity, all of creation, we bring before the Lord. We are in the body of Christ with everyone else, but we have the opportunity to enter into an intimate one-on-one communion with the Lord in personal prayer. So, when at prayer, and this, if I may emphasize it as much as I can, this is one of the most fundamental ways to deepen in prayer. And that is, when at prayer, after we've opened up our heart and opened ourselves up to the Lord as fully as we can, turn all the attention away from yourself and put your heart, set your heart on him. And when we are distracted, take the distractions. If they're nonsense, just let them go. If they are concerns we have, lay them out before the Lord. Don't worry about them. Lay them out before the Lord and put our hearts, set our hearts and our will totally on him. Whenever prayer is going badly, and I don't feel like I'm praying well, I can't get into prayer, take attention off of self. God knows we each spend more than enough time every day focused on ourselves. We spend so much time focused on ourselves that we make ourselves fairly miserable. If we take the attention off ourselves and not simply put that attention on others, which we must do, but put our hearts, set our hearts totally on God, offer ourselves, but then forget ourselves in turning ourselves toward the Lord. This is always a way to allow prayer and the personal relationship with the Lord to deepen. So maybe we can reflect on some of these things and see if we are already realizing them in our own prayer or whether we can realize them more fully. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Sacred Heart of Jesus,
have mercy on us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.